Welcome to The Week Ahead in Russia, RFERL's Monday podcast about significant developments and upcoming events in Moscow and beyond. I'm Steve Gutterman, and joining me by phone today is Robert Coulson, senior correspondent at RFERL. Rob, welcome, and thanks for being on the show again.
Hey, thanks for having me, Steve.
All right. Well, the Russian government essentially did an about-face in the past 2 weeks or so in terms of restrictions aimed to curb the spread of the coronavirus. Until recently, there were a few limits on movement. Now Moscow and many other places around Russia are under lockdown, with tougher restrictions than in many cities and countries around the world in some cases. And they are being enforced to some degree, kind of a small example. But in Moscow, over the weekend, a man walking his dog at Patriarch's Ponds was detained without the dog, apparently because police said he was violating a ban on entry into many of the city's parks. On April 1st, no joke, President Vladimir Putin signed legislation under which, in some cases, a person found to have knowingly spread false information about the coronavirus could be imprisoned for up to 3 years. And in March, authorities had already begun using a controversial existing fake news law, or so-called fake news law, to target citizens criticizing the state's response to the coronavirus or questioning the official numbers of cases and deaths from COVID-19. Those numbers have been widely questioned in Russia and abroad. Rob, there have been warnings from human rights groups concerned that globally governments may use the pandemic as a pretext to crack down. Would you say that that's what Putin's government is doing now, or are these likely to be temporary measures?
Well, it's early to say, Steve, of course, but I think the human rights groups are right to be concerned. It is the go-to tactic for authoritarian governments in general, and the Putin regime in particular, to seize control and to take control in any sort of situation like that, to make sure that there are no sort of spontaneous public initiatives going on. I mean, the perception of stability is one of the main things. The public perception of stability is one of the main things that an authoritarian regime has going for it, and they can't allow that to be undermined. And we're seeing plenty of indications that this is already going to happen. The local administrations, of course, take their. I mean, they can see which way the wind is blowing from Moscow. And so they're clues from Moscow. And so they generally begin cracking down local FSB, local police. They'll begin cracking down. And they know that, in general, Moscow has their back. So looking at reports from the regions, we're already seeing incidents like the one you said in Moscow happening all over the country, where police are acting quite thuggishly to enforce crackdowns but lockdowns that mm-hmm. may or may not actually have already been announced. The Vasilyev case, the Alliance of Doctors in Nizhny Novgorod, they were trying to bring aid into the city, bring in personal protective gear. They had all the permissions that they're needed, and still they're being harassed and accused of breaking the quarantine regulations. So definitely something to keep an eye on.
Yes, I mean, with Vasilyeva, I think, and obviously she's one of the faces, or one of the most vocal people in Russia who have kind of questioned the numbers, both sort of sounding the alarm a couple of weeks ago now, I think, about numbers of pneumonia cases that were being recorded, and also questioning the or criticizing the response itself. So I think, as you say, you know, the government, the Kremlin, is concerned, certainly, the fact that they've kind of hastily passed a new fake news law that seems tailored to apply to the coronavirus, shows they do want to keep any kind of criticism or questioning of the official numbers, again, in check. I mean, I think numbers are rising. I think over the last 24 hours, there were a larger number of new cases than before that may have to do with testing. But I think for Putin and the Kremlin, you know, obviously the real situation is very crucial. But if the numbers are much larger than is being reported officially, that will matter less to Putin if it doesn't actually get out there and be proven. So, you know, that's I assume one reason why they're taking steps to, you know, to clamp down on that sort of thing.
One more thing. You asked about whether or not these are likely to be temporary measures, and that's a really good question because, as you know, Putin has spent the last 20 years sort of dismantling any form of checks and balances in the country, either from civil society or within the government itself. I think that this is a worrying sign because if they introduce laws like the widespread use of facial recognition technology or new tactics like that, there is no oversight mechanism existing in Russia. There will be no hearings in the Duma or whatever to say that the emergency is over and these measures need to be rescinded. I think any measures that a government like Putin's takes in a situation like this are likely to become permanent.
Yes, absolutely. And I think this new law, it doesn't only apply to the coronavirus crisis. The potential punishment of 3 years in prison for fake news in some cases would also apply to other kind of, emergencies, other health crises or other situations in which people's well-being is under threat. So that can be used again in the future for other situations, whether, officially there's no temporary nature to it. So I think that, yeah. That sort of... underscores the idea that it may remain, that it's kind of be an extra tool for the government to turn to in the future.
Now, for sure, the more successful they're perceived to be now, the more likely they are to become permanent.
Right, exactly. Now, one thing that I'd say does not seem to be happening in Russia right now is a relaxation of prosecutions and cases that are not connected to the coronavirus. Whether or not that should be expected, I'm not sure. But the crisis is causing delays in court cases, trials. But as far as I can tell, there's no softening at this extraordinary time. An example, American Paul Whelan's trial was postponed from March 30th to April 13th, but he remains jailed, I believe, in Lefortovo on espionage charges that he says were fabricated. He says he was set up. And I believe some hearings that normally would be open to the public and to the press have now been closed due to COVID-19. Rob, you've written quite a bit about criminal cases and trials in Russia. Beyond the timing and technicalities, have you noticed any changes taking place as a result of the coronavirus crisis?
I can't say that I have. I mean, it's still definitely early days. The legal system moves quite slowly, and the crisis is unfolding very quickly. But again, it's as with the human rights situation, it is definitely something to keep an eye on. One thing that is extremely worrisome is that already, even before the crisis, Russia has a lamentable record as far as keeping people in pretrial detention for long periods of time, months and months, even years. And the courts routinely grant prosecutors' request to extend pretrial detention, people spending a long time in jail without any trial. And this situation, of course, is likely to be much worse. The cases will pile up. People will be held in increasingly crowded conditions, very likely. And even the threat of such a situation can be used to intimidate suspects or intimidate witnesses to get all sorts of sort of state-friendly testimony. So that's definitely something to look out for. Russia has made some progress, and Putin has even mentioned it in some of his speeches, as far as using in-house detention and other measures of keeping suspects under control during the pretrial phase. Mm-hmm. But the pretrial prisons are still badly overcrowded, and the whole process of holding people in pretrial custody is routinely abused.
Yeah, that's an interesting point about using kind of the coronavirus as sort of to increase the threat or the, you know, the leverage that prosecutors and police might have over a suspect or someone who's accused of something. And as you say, you know, there have been more some progress on in terms of house arrest and other non-jail methods of pretrial or pretrial measures, but I don't think I've seen any kind of relaxation of people, say, in jail now and then being put under house or moved to house arrest due to this health situation. So
And I think that's very unlikely. Russian prosecutors and judges rarely admit that they were wrong. So I think it's very unlikely. Certainly in a case like Paul Whelan's, where an espionage case, I wouldn't expect the coronavirus to have any. I mean, not to say that he's guilty of espionage, but it is an espionage case in the Russian legal system. And so it would be very unusual to see somebody released in such a case.
Right. No, absolutely. There are certain categories of crimes or suspicions that the Kremlin and Putin himself seems kind of particularly unwilling to give at all on, or to change the position or change the situation. All right, Rob, thanks for your insights. Let's wrap it up for today, and thanks very much for joining me. Hope to see you soon.
All right, thanks for having me, and you take care of yourself.
All right, you too. Well, actually, I'm taking a break from the podcast next Monday, so no podcast on April 13th. But please keep an eye out this Friday for The Week in Russia, my newsletter about some of the biggest developments in Russia. Thanks for listening.